Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste, and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and today I am delighted because I have a guest on the podcast today who is going to be talking to us probably about a lot of different things, I think. She may not know this yet because of what I'm going to be asking her about, but I know one thing I'm going to be talking to her about is she is a certified love attraction coach, and so I definitely want to learn a little bit more about that. So her name is Beth McGuffin, and she's also an Amazon best-selling author of various devotionals and journals, including Be Still, 21 Days Praying the Names of God, and Be Still, 21 Days Praying the Names of Jesus. And in addition to being a certified love attraction coach, she's also a book writing and creativity coach. So all of these things she does, she helps marriage-minded women learn to love themselves more deeply and attract the man God designed for them. And she also has a new book that is going to be out later this year called Open Your Heart, How to Use Your Creative Superpowers to Attract Love. So welcome to Live, Love, Engage, Beth.
Thank you, Gloria. I'm so excited to be with you and to share these things with your audience.
Yeah, well, I am delighted to have you do that because you've got a lot of different things that you are involved with. And I'd love maybe for you to just start off with maybe sharing with our listeners and also those who are watching on YouTube a little bit about your background and how did you get to where you are today and doing all these different things?
Sure, I'd love to. So my background is pretty varied, and I always knew from a young age that I wanted to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And in the process of getting my master's degree in education, I started working with a coach who really encouraged me to follow my heart and do what I'd been wanting to do all my life, and that was write a book. Mm-hmm. So I went to her for career advice on my next steps and ended up writing and publishing my first book. And it was a really fun journey. And through all that learning of self-publishing, I decided that it was fun enough and something that I could help other people do. So I started coaching in creativity and book writing once I had written two or three books at that point. So
yeah, well, that's awesome because, yeah, you definitely have to be able to have accomplished something in order to be able to teach it. So, mm-hmm. So that's good that you had a couple of books under your belt, and I'm sure you knew I'm in the process of writing, and so I know mm-hmm. that it's not an easy thing to do, especially even just getting it published. That's probably, well, they're both difficult, I think.
Yeah.
Or can be, I suppose.
Different processes, so, but it was great to learn it and to be able to find that I could really, because I had a degree in psychology as well, mm-hmm. to bring those skills to help people do something that they've been wanting to do forever usually, mm-hmm. and just needed some extra encouragement to do. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a number of years, and I was a single mom and working and going to school, and I had met and married my daughter's father pretty young, right out of college at 22. And our marriage did not last very long, but I got the most amazing, beautiful gift from it. Mm-hmm. And it just took a while to realize that it was okay to remarry, that it was okay to want love and to move on. So through that process, I decided, as I'd read a number of books and really found someone that seemed like a kindred spirit in terms of being an introverted single mom, mm-hmm. that found love. So I became a certified love attraction coach through that 5 month process, and with the intention that I really wanted to make finding the love of my life an important priority. So I went about it through education because I'm a lifelong learner, and I did. I met him on December 1st of 2017, and then we married January 1st, 2019.
Oh, wow. Well, you're still newlywed then, my goodness.
Yeah, barely got past 18 months, so.
Well, congratulations. So
Thank you.
awesome.
So,
Yeah. So what do you like especially about being a certified love attraction coach? What do you find that's most fulfilling for that?
I think the most fulfilling thing for that is helping women, especially, to find that joy and that hope again, because I was single for a really long time, and I just wouldn't let it be my focus. I didn't give myself permission to be in love again. And I found, especially single moms will tend to, okay, when my kids are grown, then I can do it. So I love just being able to help women to see that the totality of their lives, all the different aspects that God called us to, includes loving and being loved in that way, and that that's okay, even if you have been divorced, even if you have made mistakes, that there's life beyond that, and that it gets to be wonderful and beautiful and just a lovely thing. So that's my greatest joy, to see that turnaround and that spark of, oh yeah, God does have that for me.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things I noticed when I was researching you a bit is that you refer to or this process of helping women to love themselves too. You mentioned something about helping them to rediscover their queenhood. So what do you mean by that, and why is that important?
Well, what I mean by that is to really recognize and honor who God created you to be, to have a sense of who you are, and have it be an empowering thing, and a thing that is stately and royal and beautiful, and really be able to embrace femininity. So, for instance, my name is Elizabeth Catherine, and I'm named after queens, but not the typical ones. I'm named after my grandmothers, and they were queens in their own right. They were just these mighty, strong, beautiful, amazing women, and that's kind of what I want to embody in women, embracing their queenhood, knowing who they are, and acting in ways that honor themselves and God.
That's awesome. So it seems like, and just again from looking at what you all that you've accomplished, that God is an important part of your life, because you've written a couple of books about that. So tell me a little bit about that process. Maybe what even led you to write devotionals and things like that.
Well, as you said, God has been a part of my life, all of my life, being raised in a Christian home, but really, probably after college and after going through some things, just knowing him in a personal way and really knowing that I'm loved and that I'm precious and that he cares about me personally. So in that verse, which is up there, be still and know that I'm God, the process of that was me learning to stop listening to just what was in my head and start really seeking him, to really get quiet and stop long enough in my prayers to listen to what he has to say, to what he wants to say through me and to me. So my books are really my process with God. I was doing a fast, I think almost 10 years ago now, and through that, God gave me the fast method of going through his word and listening to him and asking him, what are you saying to me? And just stopping long enough to hear it. And then it was me writing down what I felt God was saying to me. And so the books is my process doing that. And then the journals are an opportunity and space for you to write your own things about what God's saying.
That's awesome. How does someone discern whether it's God talking versus, that other voice inside our heads that sometimes is nagging or complaining? Sometimes, we get, and I'm probably giving it away, I suspect, but how do you differentiate between, how do you know that it's really, that it really is like God talking to you as opposed to just your, just your brain kind of.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think for me personally, it's the sense of peace I feel after I've heard from God. It's the sense of, an inner knowing and usually because it's not something I come up with myself, it's so much bigger and it's so much more positive and it's so much more wonderful than I would come up with. Also, I always check it against God's word. If it's contrary to the word of God, then it was obviously just my thoughts. But if it's in line with God's word, so for instance, throughout the in my books, when it's literally scripture, it's italicized. Mm-hmm. So it's always matching up with the word. It's not contradictory in any way. And also, a lot of the times I've had confirmation from outside sources in some way or another. Either I'm reading a Bible verse that's similar and confirms it, or somebody will say something, or I'll hear something that a preacher or a speaker is saying, but there's usually confirmation of it. And it's never been too wild or except for maybe just that he's saying he's going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what I could ask or think, but even that's scriptural. So just checking it with, does it line up with his word? Does it true and peaceful and trusting that he's speaking? Because that was a little bit of a process for me to even get there, that God cares enough to speak to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that the first time I really became aware of that and was when I was given an idea to write a book, because this idea popped in my head and it was to write a book about love. And I was like, where in the heck? I knew I didn't come up with this on my own. That's like, it was furthest thing from my thought process to even do. So I knew it had to be, especially as I started developing and it was like, okay, this is definitely something that God wants me to know. And, yes. That's really it. It's God's wanting me to know it. And before I can actually even share it with other people, I had to learn the lessons myself. Did you find any challenges in writing like any of your books? Have you, and what did you do maybe to overcome them? Because I kind of talked a little bit about that, it's not always necessarily an easy process to write a book. And I'm sure with working with your clients as well, maybe they've had some issues. What have you found in that?
Well, I've found that, different things work at different times. And to let that be okay is one of the things. So a lot of what I advise clients to do is to just write and not edit it all, just get it all out and worry about getting it pretty or just try not to censor yourself. So I think that's really been a key to my clients and myself feeling free to write, is to not worry about who's going to write it or what somebody's going to think or that all the grammar is okay. That can be fixed later, but just going ahead and getting it out of you is, I think, one of the most important things to do. And it's and then also being open to different environments when you're writing. The most recent book I'm writing, I have been able to get away and just write at a hotel for a few days and giving myself permission to, okay, that's the way I need to write right now, because my life is so different from the last time I wrote a book, then that's okay. So just being open to maybe needing to walk away from it and take a little break, or needing to get away so that you can really focus on it, but finding what's going to work for you at that particular time, and letting it be okay that it changes.
Yeah, that's very important. It's giving ourselves permission to really figure out what works for us. And I think that even goes with just about anything in life, even beyond writing a book too. And maybe, which actually leads me to what I wanted to talk to you. Let's go back a little bit to, I guess even the topic of your book. So that this new one is about attracting love. So what advice would you have for women who are wanting to be able to be in a relationship? Maybe they haven't found that perfect, well, I'm going to say in quotes, perfect. Let's put it, maybe find someone that they can truly love and that will love them back. So what advice do you have for women in that situation?
Well, I think one of the first things is what you just touched on about permission, permission to love again, permission to accept love, permission to have the life you always dreamed of. So I think I personally struggled with that for many years as a single mom, just, no, that's not for me. But beyond that also is self-love, and being able to love and accept yourself, first of all, so that you can give that type of love to someone else. And I think that's often, I don't want to say the longest or most challenging part of it, mm-hmm. but is the first priority of attracting love, is to really know who you are and love yourself for who you are, just exactly as you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that is so important, because sometimes if you're not really in touch with who you are and can really love yourself deeply, you mm-hmm. might wind up attracting people who aren't exactly the right fit for you in a way, or maybe they're responding to something in you, but that's not who you are at your core. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Absolutely, it does. And that's really why I have two 18-year-olds. Like, you got to get to know and love and really understand yourself first. You don't need to worry about those relationships so much right now. You've got your whole lives. It really, know who you are and what is okay or not okay for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, figuring out what makes you happy, I think, is so paramount in that. Mm-hmm. And because that's the only way you're ever going to be able to help others to be able to, or find it in a way to be able to mm-hmm. make them happy too, if you might be unable to do that yourself. So that's important.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you work with people? So, and especially now, of course, things may be different than in the pandemic days, but do you typically work with people like one-on-one, or do you do group programs, or what do you do?
So basically my coaching practice is the same as it's always been. It's been primarily on Zoom calls. Sometimes I do VIP sessions at the person's home, or at a, sometimes we rent a fancy hotel room or mm-hmm. or something. Just kind of depends on what best fits the client. Mm-hmm. And so and also doing workshops, for instance, vision board. I call them play shops for vision boards, so that it's just more fun. Mm-hmm. And I do have individual clients and work in groups as well.
I like that play shops. That is so much better. Especially if you're doing vision boards. I think those are important. What do you like about doing vision board play shops?
I love the fun and the creativity that you get to bring into it. And it's very intentional for me to call it a play shop and to say it's not homework, it's home fun. I want it to be fun. I want the process of reaching your goals and your dreams to be something you continually want to do and build on, and not like, oh, thank goodness the work is over. So just making sure that we bring in, I do meditations in the vision board play shops, and again, calming yourself and really digging into what feels good and what do you want and what picture lights you up, and being okay with, I picked this picture, but it's not quite right, and let it go. So it's one of my favorite things to do. And I have one coming up at the end of August. So I love them. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's nice. And are you doing this online, or, because I know typically you do it in person, but.
Nope, I do them online. Just a big group of people, and everybody gets a chance if they want to talk about what they're working on, what dreams they're building in, what came up during the process. So it's really inspiring too, to see the ideas that pop up they never thought of before.
That's awesome. Now, to meditation, and that actually reminded me that I should have asked you this before, when we were talking about being, open to sort of listening to our heart and listening for God. So is meditation a good way that you recommend that people can do that? Or, and are there any other ways that you encourage people to do?
Yeah. So for me, it's mostly guided meditations, trying to do them silently. I'm still working toward that. but usually guided meditations for things like vision boards, or for journaling about next steps or any aspect of life or anything you want to dig into from a calmer place. So whether it be self-forgiveness, have a meditation for that, or even getting ready to go out on a date. So the meditations vary in their subject matter, but I do find them as a great tool to help me and my clients to get still. It just helps slow down a little bit and be able to listen to yourself and God. And other than that, I think a lot of intentional quiet is what I call it. So I used to take my daughter for peace walks at the beach. And we would just go on the beach, and we wouldn't talk to each other or for a while. And we would just quietly observe nature and just be in a quieter place, where there isn't the radio or TV or anything inundating you with information, and being in someplace quiet, I think is one of the best ways.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I definitely love being in nature. I love going to the beach as well. And just sometimes I'll read, but sometimes I may just sit and stare out at the water. It's amazing what can come from that, what ideas pop into your head. And so it's awesome. Is there any other advice or any other thing regarding any of the different areas that you deal with that you'd like to share that we haven't touched on already?
I think the only thing that comes to mind is to really keep in mind in all of it, whether it's writing a book or being with your soulmate, that God's plan is a good, beautiful plan, that He has good things for you. I know, especially now, some people maybe just feel feeling like God's against them because so much is going on, or feeling hopeless, or feeling lost, really. But just to be encouraged in all of those things, even this, God has a plan and is still in control, and wants you to know how much you're loved. So to always keep that in mind.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, absolutely. If someone wanted to be able to get in touch with you and to learn more about, like, say, the Vision Board Play Shop coming up, what's the best way for people to contact you?
The best way is just my website, which is BethMcGuffin.com. And then I'm also on Facebook. It's From the Heart Coaching and Publishing. Those are the best places. And always feel free to email if they have a question. I love getting emails from people and getting to know them through that. So, and that's just Beth@BethMcGuffin.com.
All right. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing all of this wonderful information, and I really admire what you're doing in the world, because I think it's so important to be able to help people, especially, you know, the creativity part and loving yourself, I think is two of the things I really resonate with a lot, because those are creativity is something that I love to do anyway, or exploring different aspects of it. And I know how important it is for us to be able to love ourselves. So I really appreciate you taking some time out and being with us today. And anything else I want to say on that regards? Let's see. I think that's it. Yeah. It's Monday. I apologize. I'm a little.
Not at all. Thank you so much for inviting me to share some of the things that God's been showing me. And I really did appreciate our time and getting the chance to talk to you.
All right. Well, thank you. And again, make sure that you visit Beth's website. Go to BethMcGuffin.com, and I will have that in the show notes. And you can get all that information if you go to LiveLoveEngagePodcast.com. And so that's going to do it for me for this episode. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to LiveLoveEngage.com and request to join. That's LiveLoveEngage.com.